Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Peace to you. And Jesus said to them, I send you out, and to whoever's house receives you, pray a blessing of peace upon them. It's interesting, you know, when the angel showed up to herald the birth of Jesus, we often think that they were singing, joy to the world. But the word actually says that they proclaimed and they said this, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. That's a good message. That's God's message to the earth. Peace to the earth and goodwill to all men. That's how he heralded in his son coming to the earth. I think if there's something that we could really do with in this day and age is peace. That peace that passes all understanding, that peace that just resides in us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, it says this. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Think about that just for a second. What is the purpose of the Word of God? It is to judge the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. Verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. People think, this is why I have peace, because people think that they can do things in secret and nobody sees. But God sees all. Let me tell you a little story. Many years ago, I was a railway worker. I know you find that hard to believe, that I was a worker. But I was employed by the State Rail, and one day, I was in the booking office chatting to one of the guys, and one of the guy's wives came in crying, going off her tree, bawling. I thought, oh my God, one of the kids must have died, you know. She was going off her tree. Anyway, her husband shuffled her out of the booking office. And that was that. The following day, the very next day, completely unrelated, a little old lady came to the booking office with a blue ticket. Let me just quickly explain how blue tickets worked. Blue tickets you wrote on and you could put any amount you liked on them. But there was checks and cross checks and double checks and all of that sort of stuff. And so there was a pink bit in the book that went into a big bag every week, and that went off to the auditors. And there was a white bit in the book that stayed in the book. And my friend Tommy, who was, he's probably dead now, but he was a stickler. He was the sort of guy that would double check and triple check. And he would just check because, well, that's what you do, isn't it? I'd say, don't worry about it, Tommy. We'll just do it. No, that's not what the book says. The book says you must go and look. So Tommy looks around, finds the bag, pulls out the pink bit, looks at the blue bit. They're not the same. One has a full fare on it and one has a half fare on it. He goes and gets the book. He pulls out the book. The book also has a half fare on it. He rings the station master. He says, station master, you need to come and see this. The station master comes in. And at that point, because I was a junior and a low-life scum, they kicked me out of the booking office. They kicked me out of the booking office because, oh, you're a junior and you're not supposed to be in the booking office. No, because I was seeing things that I weren't supposed to be seeing. That's what was really happening. Next minute, some what we called the green pens came in. Everyone knows what the green pen is? Back in the day, they were the auditors. They were scary people. They were accountants. No offence. Love accountants. I love my accountant. You're a beautiful man. But they came in and they checked the books. So, let's unravel the story, will we? What had happened, one of the guys used to come in on a fairly regular basis to the booking office, and he would write out to the pensioners a full fare ticket, charge them full fare, and write half fare on the other portions, and pocket half the money. Oops. He's got caught. He had also stolen 100 tickets from another train station, blank tickets, and was giving them out. And guess who he gave one to? His wife. Hence why his wife came in screaming the day before, because she got caught by a ticket snapper with a stolen ticket. Two completely unrelated events. God sees everything. Now everyone else would have just went, oh, well, that's just coincidence. No, that's God sticking his finger on somebody saying, get your act together. When the auditor's gone through, he had taken about $40,000 worth of stuff just out of our booking office. God sees everything. Nothing is hidden. You'll notice at the front page of the paper yesterday, they've been doing a 3-year investigation into organised crime, and they've caught them. 600 charges or something crazy like that? 3 murder charges? I'm sure those guys were thinking, we'll never get caught. We'll never be seen. Ha ha ha. We're cleverer than the police. Or maybe not. I knew this guy, his name was, I won't say his name, I'll call him Mark, his name wasn't Mark. He was an Arab. And I walked into one of the vans one day and Mark, the Arab man, was putting on a pair of jeans over the jeans that he was wearing. And I said, Mark, how many pairs of jeans have you got on? He goes, 16. I have 16 pairs of jeans. I said, why? He said, I want them. But Mark, that's stealing. Oh, no one see me. I've been doing this for years. What he didn't know is that there was a man across the road taking camera shots. I had some nice camera shots next to him. So, of course, when they arrested him, they asked me why I was standing with him. And I said I was asking him what he was doing. And they turned to Mark and said, Mark, Yes, he was asking me what I was doing. I thought I got away with it. Not so much. God sees all. We can be confident and have peace in our life that God is looking after us, that he is in charge. Evildoers will not get away with evil. They won't. And even if they get away with it in this life, they've still got to stand before God. I hate to tell you, but I would rather deal with it now than then. Because here I have repentance. There I have none. And believe me, when you stand before God and he asks you to make an account for yourself, that's a scary place to be. Make your account here. Make your stand in this life. Don't wait. Because once, we're to live once, then die, then judgment. And I hate to tell you, but none of us get out of this one alive. There was one guy. But he's it. Have peace that God will deal with you righteously. Have peace that God will look after you. And know in peace that God will forgive your sins, whatever they may be. You are forgiven. But there's a little catch. You've got to ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Many people will go into eternity in their sins, not because God wasn't ready to forgive, but because they never asked. Important. Ask. Let me give you another little story. There are some people in life who will never ask for repentance. There is not, and it's not their fault. Let me phrase this well. They have either a mental incapacity or they have some glitch where they can't grasp it. I was young one day and I've got a cousin who I love dearly, and he was running up and down my parents' front yard. And he will never grow up, okay, because he's got a mental incapacity. And I thought in my head, God, what happens to these people? They can never make a decision for you. He can never repent from his sins because he doesn't understand them. With that very thought, he turns like this. He runs over to me at the fence, starts speaking in tongues. And he says, I speak to God. He turned around and kept running. I went, what the heck? God is merciful. God is just. We can be confident and have peace that God will look after those who cannot look after themselves. What mercy is that? And I know it's true because he showed it to me. Do I think my cousin's saved? Absolutely do I think he's saved. Does he need to ask for repentance? He doesn't need to because God's covered him. How merciful is our God? How good is he? So we can have peace that God's on the throne doing what he needs to do. This isn't my message today, by the way, but anyway, it's good. It's good. It's good. You know, sometimes God just takes you into a place, you just go with him. I've always found that if God's going in a certain direction and you go with him, it always comes out good. But if God's going a certain way and you say, God, I've just got to go over here for a bit, not so good. Not so good. I'd rather hang around with God. You know, when I first started to lead churches, I had visions of grandeur. I was going to have a church of 1,000 people. And we were going to have satellite churches all over the Central Coast. And we were going to this and we were going to that. We were going to change lives. We were going to see revival. We still might. 20 years on, I'm still waiting. I still believe. But you know, we often start with big visions, big dreams, big thoughts, big passion on the inside. And then life happens. Reality sets in. Does everybody know the 50 ways that Christians say no? Number one, I'll pray about it. Number two, I need to seek God on that. Number three, I think God is leading me elsewhere. Where is He leading you? I don't know. How about you stay until you know? Number four, I just don't feel it anymore. I don't feel it. Number five, is God really here? Yes. Standing next to you. But you know, we have so many ways we say no. You know what I'd prefer, church? That you just come up and say, no, I don't want to do that. If you really want to do something, come and say, Pastor, I want to do this. And you know what I'll say? If you've got the vision, you've got the job. Go for it. I'll not stop you, I'll not hinder you, I'll not coerce you, I'll not stop you. If you fall on your face, I'll pick you up. I'll pray for you, I'll love you. But it's not my job to do what you're called to do. It's your job. Many people say no to God, thinking they're saying no to men. I said this last week. Jesus could have said to Paul, a week before last, Jesus could have said to Paul, right there and then, all the things he needed to do to get saved. He didn't do that. He sent him to a man called Ananias on the street called Straight. And Ananias told him what he needed to do to fulfill his calling. Often your purpose and destiny will come out of the mouth of a man. Often in confirmation to what God has already said to you. If you don't get a confirmation and it doesn't come out of somebody's mouth, don't run with it. Don't run with it. It'll bite you. And you run with those things that God confirms. And He'll confirm them out of the voice of a person. He likes using people. Funny that. So I journal a lot. I journal, constantly journaling. And then God will say certain things to me in my journaling. I'll go, yeah, right. I believe that when I see it. And then I come into the prayer room. Old Pete Cooper comes over, puts his hands on my shoulder, and starts praying. Okay. So, confirmation, tick. Confirmation, tick. Confirmation, tick. Okay, God, you're speaking. You want to know when God's speaking? He'll confirm it through someone. It'll never come from your feelings. Please don't trust your feelings. They will be wrong. I feel hot, I feel cold, I feel afraid, I feel whatever. Your feelings will lead you up the garden path every time. Wait for a confirmation. Wait for it in word. Because God's word is a two-edged sword. It doesn't say God's feeling is a two-edged sword. It doesn't say if you feel that you are led by the Spirit. It says, no, if you are led by the word of His Spirit. Too many people are led by their feelings. Too many people are led by their self-desire, their self-ambition. Why did I become a pastor? Because I wanted to be someone. And the pastor's always up the front talking. That's what I want to do. Oh, and they're awesomely paid. Mate, you can have 10 times what I get. That'd be awesome. You'll love it. 10 times zero, still zero. I'll give you 1,000 times what I get. It's just so true. The job wasn't quite that it was cracked up to be in my brain. In my memory, my thoughts, how I had envisaged myself, be Grand Poopah of the church, you know. Grand Poopah, you know, the head of the church. Yeah. All the masons out, all the people who don't like masons will go, oh, he's just said something from the devil. Anyway, no. Oh, I tell you. Some of the funny things I've had as a church, it's funny. The devil under every rock. Do you know, the devil under every sentence, and it's just simply not true. You know, the devil don't need it. We make enough mess of our own lives. We just don't need the devil. You know, just it's not to say that he don't exist. I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is that we need to be making our own right decisions. We need to be listening for the word of God. Don't worry about the devil. God's dealt with him. He's been dealt with. He knows his end. Have you come to destroy us before the time? Did the guy that was possessed, Legion, said? They know. Not a mystery to them. When Jesus showed up, they thought, we'll just kill the Son of God and we'll be done with it. Oops. 1 Peter tells us that he has descended down into hell to take those who are captive free. I just imagine that would have been a good day. It would have been an interesting day in hell. You know, Jesus shows up. Do you want to be free? Well, yeah. Yes, please. Not a good day for the enemy, though. Because he was defeated completely.
Come on.
Absolutely. There's nothing the enemy can throw at you that God has not already planned a victory for. Your plans might not always go to your plan, but they will go to God's plan. Yeah. They will go to his purpose. And we find our purpose best when we are in partnership with others. We don't do well on our own. We think we do. The enemy has a plan to divide and conquer. God has a plan to unite, to bring victory. United we stand, divided we fall. The old saying. Our strength is not in our similarities, it is in our diversity. I do not want 50 Keiths running around the church. One's enough for any planet. I want you to become the best you can be. I might have traits that you might think, I could do with modelling that. Good for you. If you find something good, model it. I might see good things in lots of people that I watch. Bill Johnson, Phil Pringle, Brian Houston. All of them have some fantastic traits. One of the best traits is that they don't say stupid things out their mouth very often. I could do with it that. I sometimes have foot and mouth disease. And I know that you love me and you'll forgive me when I do it. But it would be best if I didn't. So there are traits that those guys have that I'd love to have. And I partner with them by watching what they say, by looking at that stuff, but I don't want to become them. Then I lose who I am and I lose the very diversity for which God has created me. God-given partnerships, let us focus on our strengths. Don't focus on your weaknesses. Don't bother. It's not. Be aware of them, but don't focus on them, because they'll never bring you strength. Build your strengths. Your weaknesses will just become irrelevant. I am still working on my foot and mouth disease, of course. But I don't focus on it. If I say something out of place, I'm sorry about that. But we move on from that and build our strengths. We should focus on what we're good at and bolster those areas where we lack through the right God-given partnerships. See, I've got a great God-given partnership because I have a wife who, when I have foot and mouth disease, will tell me. First thing that happens when we get into the car after church is, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have said this, shouldn't have said this, shouldn't have said that. And by the time, no, not at all. But by the time we get home, we're finished with the foot and mouth. No. But it's important. That's important because we all need to be accountable. Everybody in this modern age want their rights. I'll have my rights, thank you very much. But nobody wants the responsibilities that go with those rights. The moment you make somebody responsible, they'll tell you about their rights. No, well, you have the right to be responsible. You have the right to do what is right. And we're living in a society that doesn't want to take responsibility and ownership for their decisions. Well, it's something that happened to me when I was a child, or it was something that happened to me. And I'm not saying that horrible things didn't happen to people. They do. They do happen to people. And are they wrong? Yes, they are wrong. But do not let your past dictate your future. Whatever you hang on from the past will leave you in the past. Break it off. Do whatever you have to do. Go and have counselling, go and see a psychologist, go and prayer ministry. Look, there's heaps of things you can do to break off your past. Do not let it hang on to you, because it will stop you going into your future. And God's got a plan for you. And His plan for you is bigger than your plan for you. Somebody said to me the other night, we were praying, I was at Pete's house and we were praying, and somebody said, God's telling you to think big. You need to think bigger. That scared the heck out of me. Because I'm a little prone to delusions of grandeur. I think that I run a church with 1,000 people in it. I believe it. I'm preaching like there's 1,000 people. They're stacked out the doors. So it's not hard for me to think big. But I've been knocked down a lot of times after thinking big. Smack. You're on the ground again. You get up and you re-pick up and you rebuild again and you refocus again. And then next thing, smack, you're down again. And you get up again. I feel like Rocky. You know? Dun, 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 dun. You know? Running up those stairs. You can do it. That's right. You can do it. Don't let the devil keep you down. There's nothing that he can do to keep you down if you keep believing God. But God-given partnerships are key to developing yourself. Faith without works is dead. Oh, it's a biggie, isn't it? We're so busy in our lives that we often forget that we still need to be doing stuff for the kingdom. And it's not that we're saved by that stuff. It's not that it's you know, God will be less happy with you if you're not doing that stuff. We're just responsible. We are responsible to do what is right. We are responsible to do good things for people. So that's why we partner with Coast Shelter. That's why we're partnering with Father's Table. That's why we had Jamming for the Homeless. That's why we're doing Beauty for Ashes. And now we're going to try and partner with the police like down the road. You know? It's a good thing. Jen did a great job this week, Jen. Great job. She went everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. She went everywhere. She gave those packs out all over the place, made great contacts for the church, just fantastic, and great contacts for the ministry. And look, keep getting behind that, church. It's important. It's really important. And to help to do good things in our community. You know, we've got more kingdom partnerships yet to discover. And as we discover them, we'll tell you about them, and we pray that God brings great kingdom partners to work with us. I'm believing that the kingdom of God can do more than an individual church. Each church has its place in the body. We need to respect that each church has a God-given purpose and grace upon it. And where he leads, we want as much as we are able to partner with those that seek his will and desire his kingdom to be established upon the earth, as it is in heaven. I pray that Central Life finds the grace upon it to do the work God has for us and has called us as a church. We've had a tough year. It's been a tough 6 months. I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm not sugarcoating it. You've walked it with us. It's been a tough 6 months. But I think that we're on that turning point. We're at that point where things, where you start seeing things go forward. I believe God. God keeps saying, God keeps saying in my journaling, at the end of each of my journals, he'll say, and Keith, it's going to be fun. Yes. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And then Jenny Foreman had a word for me on Thursday night, and she said, I see like a Noah's Ark with all the animals with their heads poking out the side. Like out of a kid's book, you know? And I saw that picture straight away. And she said, I just feel like it's meant to be fun. That's a fantastic picture. Because here's Noah with all the animals with their heads stuck out the side of the ark on top of a flood that decimated the planet, but he's having fun. He's got the floating zoo and it's all happening. I love that word. What a fantastic word. It's going to be fun, church. It's going to be fun. God has planned to prosper us and to prosper you. You know, God, he loves us more than we can even grasp or understand. He thinks that we're the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, God is good, isn't he? God is good. And it's just so amazing to hear him confirm his word over and over again through you guys. You guys. You guys are the salt of the earth. You guys, every one of you, are a blessing. And some of you find that hard to hear, eh? But you are. You are a blessing. You are an honorable people. You are good. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. You know, when I moved into my new house, for the first 2 weeks, I couldn't help but walk into the house and go, God, I am so grateful. God, I am so grateful. There's just something about when God pours out a blessing upon you, that it just pours out from your heart gratitude to the Father. I'm just so grateful. I'm just so grateful. Do you know? And when I hear about the struggles and strives that people have across the planet, I'm just so grateful. I'm just so thankful that I live here. I'm so grateful that I've got food in my belly. I'm so grateful that I can pay my bills. I'm so grateful that I'm in a church with you guys because you're awesome.
Thank you.
There's nothing like gratitude that gets God's ear faster. God loves a grateful heart. Grateful heart. And the more grateful you are to the Father for what he is doing, the more he will do. He will bless and he will bless and he will bless again. Because he is a good, good Father. Because that's who he is. I love that song. And that's who he is. Father, we just thank you so much for this place. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this beautiful building you've given us. We just thank you for all of the wonderful things that you've done in our lives. We thank you so much, Lord God, for the food on our table. We thank you for the ability to pay our bills, Lord God, and we just thank you, Lord God, for all of those things that you've blessed us in. But we would also ask you to bless us abundantly above all that we might ask and think, so that we might help those that are without. That we might not focus inwardly, but we might focus outward. That we might focus our attention on those who have need of you. Father, we ask, Lord God, put people in our path this week that need to hear an encouraging word from you. And give us a word in season for that person. Let us all walk in the prophetic this week. Every single one of us be gifted with the gift of prophecy this week. That we might hear the word of God for somebody. That we might be able to hear a word in season that might just spark a God-given interest in that person this week. We ask, Lord, that your kingdom would be established on the Central Coast. That your power would be made evident on the Central Coast. That you would bring great blessings to the Central Coast and to the greater parts of Australia. We thank you for our farmers. We pray you'd bless them. We ask, Lord, you've given us the abundance of rain here. We thank you for it. But we ask you, Lord, for the rain for the farmers. We ask you that the rain would come, that you'd pour out the rain across the whole central part of Australia, all across the west, Lord God, that they would have the rain, Father, that they're praying for, that they would be blessed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you bless those people who are blessing the farmers. Every person who puts in to help the farmers, Father, bless them, Lord God. Bless them in Jesus' name. And bless every single person in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.
I just feel there's a real anointing here this morning. So as we just finish the service this morning, if you need prayer this morning, come down after the service here. And all the prayers, come and pray for these people this morning, because I so sense God is still doing something here today. And if you really need support and prayer, come down today. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Di. Yep, so if you need prayer, jump out of your chair, come down, jump on the prayer line. We've got prayers, we'll pray. And God bless you. Peace be to you.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.